Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randolph's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
Well, I'm assuming I gave her this on 6517 Rancho Santa Fe Drive. But, you know, I may have said it wrong, I don't know, but it does. I do remember once she told me to settle down, I was too excited or something. And anyway, the paramedic got on the phone and he says, so what's happened with your wife, or describe your wife or whatever, something to that effect. And I said, well, she's been shot, she's bleeding a lot around the, she's on her belly, she's bleeding a lot underneath her head. I don't remember exactly, but I described basically whatever was going on with her. And that's what I remember. She was bleeding under her head, and that's what I said. And I told him I had taken a pulse, and I could get a pulse. And he said, you've already taken one. And I said, yeah. And I believe that's what happened. He asked me, and I said, yes. And he says, okay, now listen close. We've got, this isn't going to be, he was basically telling me it was going to be yucky. I don't remember the words he used, but he said that we needed to take care of Sharon or she was going to die. And it wasn't going to be pleasant, is maybe what he said. And I said, that's okay, I can do it. Let's just do what we got to do. And so he told me to roll her over, and I went over, and I guess I had this phone still. So that's what he said, keep the phone by you. And I went over, and it seems like he told me to lay the phone down now and roll her over. So he said to keep the phone by me, don't hang up. But I got down like this to, now this is the back part, and it was bad then, but it's really bad tonight, so it may not be exactly like that. But I laid the phone down something like that. I said, Sharon, I'm trying to get her to respond in some way. And told her that she wasn't responding, and he says, you're going to have to roll her over and do the chest compressions. And I says, okay. And so I tried to roll her over several times, and I couldn't get her over. She just was too, it was just too much weight for me. It was hurting me. I remember grunting and trying to get her over. And I told the guy, I got him back on the phone, I told him, it seems like I told him, I can't get her over. I said, because she's just too big. And then I says, wow, this is really freaking me out. I says, I don't think I can do this. I says, the other guy is just down the hall, and he's got a gun, and he shot my wife. He tried to fight, shoot me, or I think he said shoot me, but he might have said fight with me. Tried to shoot me, and he's just laying on the garage for all I know. He can get up any time and shoot me again. And the guy says, okay, let's take care of that. He says, get up. He says, you got your gun? I said, yeah. And he says, okay, get your gun. Get up very slowly. Walk toward the man. I think he told me not to hang up. And I know when I started to get up, I pushed like that, because I remember it left the blood thing somewhere right here, trying to balance myself to get up. And I got up, got around Sharon. Excuse me, and I had it either in my pocket, in my belt loop, something. I took the gun, kept looking back. I'll tell you what, too, about this time, and I did not tell you that, but about this time, I got anointed, and I went in the shower, and I just went like copied that and backed off, except it didn't do that. It went back in. It just kind of went, because I started thinking there was somebody in the shower. And that I didn't put in the report. I remembered that later and was going to call you, but I didn't. And go back down the hall, and the guy's talking. I'm trying to light because it had went off. And he's laying right here. The hood, I don't think the car was this far up. I think the car was a little bit further back, but he was laying. Yeah, it was definitely further. I park all the way over. When I park, all the way over against the edge, because if you don't, you can't get out. And my car will stop right there, so I can get out where those buckets, where those that JVC thing is. That's as far as my front end will go, and then I can get out after that. Sharon backs or pulls in about where she's at, and we can get in. Just have a little more room that way. And that night, the car was a little bit further back. The truck was a little further, I think, this way, and maybe a little further back. But anyway, he's laying right here, and he had on a sweatshirt, and I think he still had on the gloves, as far as I remember. But I do remember the ski mask was right up here by one of his hands, sort of, or by up here somewhere. And there was sacks like this. And he got in the car, there was sacks that was in the trunk. That he was, because he said he had a date. And my briefcase was in the trunk. It was one of the last things I did before I leave, was get my briefcase out of the trunk and throw it in the back of Sharon's car. I always lift the seat up, stick the bag underneath the seat, and close the seat down so nobody can see it. Because apparently somebody will steal my bag with my medicine and my money in it. And I'm talking to the guy, and I said, I don't see the gun. I says, there's some bags of stuff here. I says, there's my bag. I says, I'm in the bags, and he's got one of my bags, and it's the bag that is in there on the living room table that I think it's a Walmart bag. And he says, well, find the gun. It has to be in there. And I remember reaching into the bag and feeling around, and I stuck my finger. And there wasn't, I didn't feel a gun in there. Like I said, this was a little further back, because I went around over here, and I'm still keeping a pretty good eye on him. I walked around back in here and had room to get through there, looking for the gun. And that's when I seen the fire extinguisher up under the tire, and realized, I mean, where the funniest things pop into your head. But I realized I just shot this guy two times because the fire extinguisher fell down. But that's just how it happened. And I went over here looking to see if I could see the gun. And about that time, the timer went off on the garage door. And it just went black in here. And it just scared the living hell out of me. So I got back about right here. And just kind of skipped real big because I knew he was over there. And turned the door back on, turned back around, told him I couldn't find it. He told me it has to be there. If he had a gun, it has to be there. Carefully roll him over and see if it's there. Or something about rolling him over. And I just put my foot on him and up on the shoulder and kind of pushed on him. And he kind of tilted that way. And when he did, then he kind of went like this. And I reached down right here. Let's see, if he was laying this way, it would have been this hand. It would have been this hand. Because he was laying something like this on his head. When I pushed him over, then his hand dropped down, and it was right here under this hand. He wasn't holding it, but it was in, his hand was right by it. He was holding it, I'm assuming, but he wasn't holding it then. And I picked it up by the I think by the wood part on it, and brought it in here, told the guy I got the gun. He said, throw it, put it somewhere in another room where it's safe, and lock the door. So I locked the door, Except this is a lot faster. This all is just going really fast. And I remember seeing... I'm assuming it's these things. And this has been moved, because I don't even remember if this was in here or not. I know it wasn't over there, I'm sure. But it was either here or laying on here. I think it was on here. And I threw the gun. I got just about to right here. And I just threw the gun like that. I don't remember if it stayed up on the top, if it fell down in the garbage can. But I was done with it for then. I went back down in here to my wife. Got back to where I was at. Told him everything was cool. Got back down here. And shook Sharon again, talked for a minute. And I said, she's still not moving, but she's bleeding really, really bad. And he says, that's why you've got it. She's going to die if you don't do this now. So I'm not going to be unpleasant. He says, now put down the phone and roll her over and then talk to me. So I remember from CPR and stuff that you got to do the counterweights or whatever. So I, seems like I lifted this arm, kind of lifted her up and pulled this arm under and one of these knees sort of over. And kind of, I just had to jerk her. It wasn't like a gentle, loving thing by any means. It was like, about the third time it jerked enough that she got up, kind of straight up, and I could just kind of push her over. And she came over, and it was the grossest thing I had ever seen in my life. And my wife had died of a heart defect. It was pretty gross, but just really thick, blobby stuff coming out of the mouth, and I don't know if it was blood, I don't know if it was some type of matter, and I remember the box was under here, and it was slick, and I tried to push the box like that back, trying to get the leverage, and there was the other gun, another gun laying right here, and I picked it up, and I don't know why for sure that I was going to check it to see if it was loaded. I don't know why, because I know guns better than this. I don't know revolver that much, but I pushed the revolver, the button of the cylinder drops open. And I'm thinking like a safety button or something. But anyway, I just pushed it, and I could see that the cylinder was starting to come open. So I just closed it back and just threw it back, just dropped it right there, and started doing the chest compulsions and compressions. Got him on the phone, told him what was going on. I reached across like this, took her pulse one more time, no pulse, and pulled her blouse up, and I went up from the sternum or whatever is the way I was taught to do it. And I went up to where the sternum is and then put my, up one fist up and then one fist over it. And I know the whole time I'm probably crying and yelling, Sharon, God damn it, fuck, Sharon, fuck, talk to me, something like that. And I'm doing the correct chest compressions, and then I kind of thought, maybe I'm not doing these right, I'm kind of doing them like a wild man. So then I started 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and I'm really just getting tired, and every time I pushed on him, blood just oozed out. And I did that for, it doesn't seem like it was very long, maybe 10, 20 compressions on my own, and then maybe 15 where I was counting, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000, and I told the guy, I says, I got a bad back, bad neck, and I says, I just don't got too much left in me. And he says, the police are here, go let them in the front door. Just go let them in the front door. And I got up, and went and let the police in the front door. Yeah, I don't remember what I did with the phone. And I just came right in here. And what's weird about the door, and this I do not remember for sure, but it seems like when I undid the door, that I did it all right. I looked to make sure the buzzer was off, and then I realized it was too dark, so I turned all these lights on, and turned them off again to make sure I had all the right ones, because one of them works a floodlight, one of them works this light, one of them works the porch light. But anyway, I turned them on and off again, make sure I had them right, and I unlocked the doors, got to, and by then the cops are yelling, put your hands up, whatever, and I think they must have had some type of lights or something, maybe just car lights, but it was really bright in here. And I did the same thing on this, but it was like I locked the door instead of unlocking it. So then I had to go back and do it again to come out. And that's the only thing really weird I remember, is that I thought that I had unlocked the door, and it seems like I locked them and then unlocked them. And that don't make any sense to me, because they should have just been unlocked. I mean, I should have just unlocked them once rather than, and I may have only done it once. It may just be my mind. But in my mind, it seems weird to me. It seems like I locked them rather than unlocked them. And then I just went outside and cops grabbed me and just took me down, took my money, took my clip, took my gun, took my little pill bottle thing, took my keys, took everything I had in my pocket. They didn't check my shoes, didn't check,
that's probably
easy. I was just going to say, because this camera's starting to tweak me up. I wasn't planning on camping out in there. I was just getting them going.
We switched tapes. Now we're on tape two. We're just going to go through some clarifying questions to get real specific about the that you had gone into the room and you took the gun from the shoe rack, it's hanging in the closet.
And a clip.
And you put the clip in your pocket. And then when you were coming, you started to come out.
I did come out.
Okay, you are actually
out. About right here.
Okay, so you're in the doorway.
And he's coming right by.
Okay, and he started toward you. How far back into the room do you think that you went?
Well, I went to right here to the door. No, I just, when I came in here like this, decided, okay, I thought I'd seen something right there. I just went just like that, got it, tucked it in there, came back right about that, about where he is.
Okay, standing right
in
here.
Not even closer. I'll grab the big thing up here.
Okay.
Okay, and then he kind of comes in twice.
You know, like I'm facing you now?
He's more like going out, but he's looking at him. When I came in here like this, decided, okay, I thought I'd seen something right there. I just went just like that, got it, stuck it in there, and came back right about that, about right then. He's about right where he is.
Okay, so he's standing right in here.
Not even closer, about where, about here.
Okay.
Okay, and then he just kind of comes in before I come out.
Is he like I'm facing you now?
He's more like going out, but he's looking at me.
Okay.
He's looking at me.
But he's making his motion north towards the door.
I don't know if he's making this toward the door or more toward just coming around this way. I'm just saying he wasn't back that far. He was about right here.
Okay, he's about here, and he's going towards the garage door.
I don't know that he's going toward the garage door. He's just going to right here, as far as I know, because that's where Wingman.
Just if you could, not me doing it, if you could explain his actions for me, you could just kind of show what you remember him doing.
He just came up, just coming up right up here. Well, he's just about right here. And I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he's doing, because I just turned around and got this and turned around and, like, there he was.
Well,
there he was.
What was in his head? What was he physically doing? What were his movements that you remember?
Just about. Well, that was about it. He just walking like this. And he knew, I think he knew I went in there. I don't know if he seen me go in there or what.
Okay. But when did you see him do it? You could just repeat his movements.
It's like that. It's kind of.
So he stepped into the doorway and squared off on you?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
More of a, about there, about right there.
So now,
maybe about right there. He was looking for first. I thought he was looking at something, but I guess he was just looking through me.
You guys are just a few inches away from each other.
Just a few inches away, and he's going, I had just come down with the gun, and you can see my gun, I had the gun.
Okay.
And he's reaching for something. I don't know what he's doing. He's either getting a gun or going to fuck me, because he's doing something to his pants.
He's facing this way, and he's got both hands or just one?
Just one, but I don't know for sure.
It's stamped in your memory, and I'm sure that you're never going to forget it.
I think it was this hand. He was digging in, because I was thinking I could probably hit him. I think it was this hand here he was digging with. Well, he had both hands down, because one hand,
hands, and it looks like his one hand was digging.
With the leg is this hand.
Okay.
And then came up with, kind of cut the other hand up like a defensive move almost.
He did?
Yeah. Well, he was just getting it up. I don't know if he was going to push me or what.
It's about the same.
I don't know that anything was said. There was something said like, fuck you, or oh fuck, or fuck this, because I remember saying fuck a few times. Fucking come in my house, or something like that, or something. I just, you know, just shit.
Did he say anything to you?
I don't remember. I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
He steps up in here, and then he turns and he squares off against you, and then what do you do?
He just about like that. That's it. Then he moves on down here.
He didn't turn in on you?
Nope, he didn't come in on me. He just, well, maybe a little bit on me, but not like we was going to fight. He was more, and you know what happened? When we came in like this, you sort of like this, when we came out like this, I don't know if he was... Because he's looking for his stuff, and then with this hand came up, and I thought he was going to push me, but I think what he did is did the mask, because somehow it seems like maybe his mask came up a little bit.
Right, so he lifts his own right arm and takes
it. I don't know that for sure. I'm just trying to just come around, but I remember we may have just touched here a little tiny bit.
Where was he in relation to you when you fired the first time?
Maybe right there.
So he's, now is he going?
No, he's turned toward me still. He's still
shuffling? How's he doing?
Nope, he's still trying to dig. He's still digging out. He's just like this, just digging out, and I'm kind of coming. I'm just coming at him. I'm going
to
shoot him. Okay. There's no...
He's turning here, and he squares off on you. How did he get there?
He seen me, then he just turned around, just kind of... Nope, he wasn't running. He was backing the whole time. So, okay. You know, keeping an eye on me. He's keeping an eye on me. He's keeping an eye on me, see where I'm going.
So now he's gotten over to here, and he's still squared off against you?
Pretty close, I think. I just started shooting. I just started to shoot. I don't know if I fired the first shot. I just shot.
Straight up? Squared on you?
Don't know. I think he's still facing me. He might have been
he's
a little
reason.
More. No, I don't think so. I think then he may have had, I may have already shot him when he put the gun up, but he's more maybe... Kind of like that. It seems like it was like that, because it was just like, it was close. It was pretty close. Might have been a little further back.
Against the wall.
Yeah. And then he was headed toward the door. And that was it.
All right, so show me his movement from the time that he came up here Jack here. Were you first seeing him? Show me what you saw him do. Oh, Jack here. The door was closed, though, right?
No, it would be open. I closed the door after they told me to go get the gun and close the door.
Well, this is before all that's happened, though, because you're still confronting him.
Right. And I had the door. When I came in and seen Sharon, I had the door. Yeah, I did. I stood here from this. Sharon called at her a couple of times. I actually started, like I told you, I pushed the garage and then stopped it because I was actually going to go get the neighbors. And I thought, you chicken shit, go see what's wrong with your wife. And I closed the door back down. And then it just like that.
Okay.
Came up here and about right here. I just thought, no, this ain't cool. And started going in to get the gun. And like I said, just as I started to go in here, I don't know if he went in, if he came out, if he jumped across, because it was just out of the corner of my eye. But I think he was hiding. I think he was in that bedroom, and he just stuck his eye out enough that I could just see him.
In the drum room,
yeah. I think so. Just enough that I could see him, and just out of the corner of my eye. And that's what I just got scared. I just got scared, and I said, fuck it, I know there's a gun in there. And I thought, yeah, just grabbed it and turned around. He was coming down. I think he was running. I think he was probably going to run away. And we, yeah, and right around in here somewhere, we actually kind of bumped into each other just for a split second.
Okay, but if he's running towards that open door.
Well, I know he was going toward the door as much as maybe he was coming toward me.
Okay. So show me what you saw from the moment you could see him after you get the gun.
I almost ran into him.
Right.
Okay, he's coming down here, and it's like he was looking to see if I was in there for sure. I don't know if he was like thinking maybe I'm just standing here waiting to pop him if he goes by, but he is kind of like just like this. And I was right up on him. Actually, I came forward. I came forward a little bit because we made contact, but that's when I bit the side of my mouth. I thought I hit the door or something. It was just from contact. I might even have maybe I might have pushed his mask up because I'm taller when we came in here.
Well, but just pushing it down, though, he's short.
Pardon me?
You'd be pushing it down, not up, right?
Well, I'd be pushing it kind of sideways. I wasn't like knocking it off or anything with my hands. I think just body movement.
Right,
and I'm thinking maybe it clogged his vision.
You've gone into the room, you retrieved the gun, you're coming back out, show me his movement from the time you see him until the time he goes down. Repeat that for me. You actually do that movement.
Okay, I'm coming out about the same time too, and about right here, we hit. And he's coming, okay. He's coming down just like
you
this.
You see him, he's there, he stares off on you.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay,
kind of.
And then what happened? Again, just his movement. Not yours.
I kind of like that. I was already shooting.
Okay, so when you first fire, he's right in this area.
Yeah, still facing probably. Him. Maybe a little more that way, maybe a little more this way.
Okay.
Because I kind of just...
Where do you think he hit him?
Probably maybe in the arm or the chest. Unfortunately, I don't think I hit him because he just kept going. Okay.
Okay, so after you fired the first time, does he stay squared off on you?
No, he's going.
Okay.
And I'm shooting the whole time. Seems like maybe about right here, he actually gets turned away from me.
Okay, so you fire the first time, he's stepping. Go ahead and repeat his movements for me, whatever you remember.
Whatever we're doing here, and I don't know if I hit him, I don't know if that's when he got his gun out, if he just said, fuck it, I'm running, I don't know what the deal was. It seems like I shot him again, maybe like about right here, and then he started turning like this toward the door, and I shot. I may have emptied the gun, I don't know.
How many times do you think you fired before you got to the door?
There as many times as I could. I don't know.
How many times do you think?
I think the gun holds 8, never had one in the chamber.
That's 9.
It's 9, and I don't remember it staying open, so it had to be 8 or less.
Okay.
But
so then what happens after he's now he's squared off against you. You fired the first round.
I fired once or twice. Fired again.
And as he's going out the door,
I'm firing.
Okay. And then
he's by then I'm here, and he's down. He's down, laying, falling or laying down. I don't know.
Did he land face first?
I think he does, because when I, well, maybe on his shoulder, but kind of his head turned down.
From somewhere on his right side, you're showing?
Kind of like. Kind of under his hand, but like that, but laying down. Because the car was through the back, and he's small.
Did you flip him over?
Yeah, I pushed him over here with my foot.
Right, so he's mostly on the right side, and you pushed him further over?
Right, to find the gun when the guy told me to. But I shot him before that again.
Okay.
I was standing right around, probably about right here. And this is all almost the same continuous motion. I'd already shot him and was coming up, and he was down and kind of, you know, doing whatever you do as you go down. And about that time, I just, it's kind of scary. About that time, I had stopped shooting for a minute because I thought that's it, you know, he's done. And about that time that the light went off, it was up. And that was that opens the door. That fire extinguisher sits over here. I think the fan sits up. Anyway, this fire extinguisher, when I remember seeing it, was under my car like that. But my car was further down. But the fire extinguisher fell, and that's what the noise was.
Fired two more times from the threshold?
One or twice, I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Once or twice, and I was still in here.
So
and
he's laying head that way.
Almost head and body kind of this way, and his legs over here, one hand there, and
okay.
That's
so
about it.
On his,
no, wait, his hand would have been up underneath here. So he was kind of laying like this at first. And when the noise came down, I shot one or two times along here.
Okay. So
it may have been once, it may have been twice.
Where'd you hit him
then? Pardon me?
Where'd you hit him?
I shot him in the head.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
In the head or in the back here, somewhere through here.
You saying about that? I
think so. I somewhere around in here.
So you can see his head at that point?
I see
his face? How was his head in relation to the floor? Was it facing down at the floor? Was it facing up towards you? Was it facing out to the side, to the west?
It was kind of facing this way.
Okay.
It was kind of down.
More or less down.
Yeah.
So you got him.
And I don't think, let me think here.
You got him in the back of the head? Did you tell it was Mike yet?
I knew it was Mike because of his chin. But I don't know if he had his mask on then. It seems like he still had his mask on then. It happened really fast. I don't know. But
well,
it seems
he had his
like
mask on
he had his mask on there for sure. But I know when I came out, his mask was over here, I think. I don't know. I ain't going to say that either, because that may have been some of the shit he got out of the house that was there. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. So I really don't know. I was scared.
When you're back here, and you squared off on him, you still had his mask on?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think when we ran into each other, I think maybe it tilted a little bit. And I think that's what he was trying to do with his other arm, was to be able to see. Because
okay.
He was kind of acting like he didn't know what he was doing. I just think that's scary, but then I start thinking he may not have been able to actually see out of where he did see. Just out of the eye holes or whatever.
Okay, and then when he went between him now turning and he continuing to shoot and him going to the ground, he still got his mask on.
I think so.
Because you couldn't tell who he was yet.
I don't.
When he's facing you here in the hallway, if he had his mask off, you didn't know it was Mike, right?
Oh, yeah. I was still shouting. It wouldn't matter a bit. But, I really don't know. I really don't know.
So then, after that, after he goes down, he's standing here, the fire extinguisher falls, and you shoot him.
It's kind of a reflex.
In the head.
I think, yeah. Just kind of the bigger area up in there because he was kind of crunched up.
Okay.
And I walked around in there and tried to stay out of the blood and stuff because the guy told me to find the gun.
He didn't have anything in his hands, right?
In his hands?
Right. Did he have anything in his hands here?
No, he was going for something in his hands. I don't know if he was going in his
pocket?
Yeah, that he had on sweatshirts with pockets. I don't know if it was one of those that go all the way through, if it's one that just had two pockets that zippers up.
He wouldn't carry anything.
No, he didn't have anything in his hands. He was going for something either in his pant loops, in his pocket, down in his pants. I wasn't really paying attention to what he was grabbing at. I was paying attention to killing him.
Okay. But the bag and stuff, that was already out here. The bag of jewelry and everything was already out here on the ground.
Yes, yes.
With the grocery bags that had his clothes in.
I guess it had his clothes in, but I don't know if that
earlier
was...
Earlier in the day he saw him.
Yeah, earlier in the day, yes. He had a date. He said he had a date. Okay. That day because he wanted to borrow more money again.
And when you dropped him off on Rancho, was he wearing that sweatshirt? Remember him wearing the sweatshirt and the pants with the bleach stains on them and the cowboy boots that your wife gave to him?
No.
He wouldn't wear those? That's what he was wearing?
I can tell you. He'll tell you what he was wearing because the guy had the cows in the place that sells motorcycles and skews because they spend a lot of time with us. They spend a lot of time with us.
The guy?
Oh, the salesman.
Oh, during while you guys were there?
Yeah.
Okay.
He spent a lot of time with us. I shot at him a bunch of times. I don't know how many times I hit him or what, but it was pretty close.
Okay. Yeah, especially these first ones, right?
Yeah.
You don't have it tucked in, you have it set forward, you're probably inches away, right?
I think it seems like on the first one I kind of almost stood back a little bit, but I'm just not sure.
On your wife, when you came back over here and you knelt down beside her here, you had to lift her up and pull her up underneath her to get her to flip over.
Yeah, sort of.
So it's you're kind of grabbing her, you're reaching, getting her right arm underneath her, and then flipping her under.
I think I was lifting more by her shirt and her leg, like the material in her leg, to get her up. And I only got her up, and then I kind of just balanced against her and then pulled again. I mean, I jerked. It wasn't a lift of any kind.
Where
it
was her hand in relation to?
Right here.
Where?
Right here.
Okay. So just like maybe 5 or 6 inches inside?
Yeah.
You didn't pull her this way?
No. But she's just too heavy.
Did you ever lift her up and then drop her?
No.
There wasn't a point where you stood a strap over the top of her and lifted her up and then dropped her back down?
No.
Okay. I mean, trying to lift her up?
No.
And when you first came in the door and you saw her, was that you moving? Did you see her moving at all?
I think it did, like maybe like her body, like funny heartbreaks, but I mean funny. And I thought she'd hurt her hip. She'd been complaining that her hip had been catching. She wears these patches on her hip, and she'd been complaining that her hip caught, and I thought maybe she... And I'll tell you what else, too. It drives me crazy, and I'd love for her to do it right now. But she will leave 6 or 7 pair of shoes out. I don't know how many times I've hurt my back getting up in the middle of the night trying to be quiet because I don't sleep at nights. And all of a sudden it's, motherfuck, Sharon, Jesus. And she'll have 6 or 7 pair of shoes out. Just, it's like she booby traps the place. And that's what I thought. Maybe she had tripped over her own shoes and fallen.
These carpets that you keep in each room, how are they normally? Do you keep them like that? Are they usually squared off like when you step into the room?
I do with Sharon that moves them. I don't do them the way she does.
Why does she move them? You know? I mean, would you expect that this thing to be turned and squared off to the entrance of the room?
I couldn't. I put them like that because I figure it's so they don't catch here and so some of the dirt catches out here, but she pushes them back just like that. It's so flat. And this one always goes, they always do. I don't know why, but they always do. Every single one of them does.
Do you ever buy anything out of that?
Under the carpets, huh? No.
Okay. And this, the 38 revolver, you keep where? Can you show that?
This is down. Matter of fact, I don't know who closed this.
When you came in, it was down?
This is down today. I want to ask my brother if he closed that kind of tweaks me a little bit too. Or maybe Mike or Colleen did it when they was in here, but I didn't think they got in this far. But that's where it stays. And the reason he knew it was here is because you see this, Sharon had part of her disability is due to she can't see well. And one of the times we was fighting and I decided I was leaving, she says, fuck it, I'll just paint the house and get a ringer. And apparently, she just went gung-ho and decided to paint that day. And there's two or three places here and over here and over here, and there's some of the other room that don't match. And Mike was needing some money, and I said, Mike, I just don't, I can't loan you no more, and I don't have anything else for you for a while. And he says, well, how about if I could paint, man? I could paint these often. Hell, I could be down 10, 15, 20 minutes. And he went up there like this to show me, and I didn't have these two in at the time. I just had the one in. And when he was showing me, it pushed over and went on an angle, popped open. Oh, now I know where you keep that one. But he knew where they were anyway, because we went shooting or tried to go shooting a couple of times.
So you already know where it
was? Yeah, I don't think he was stupid, definitely. And I don't know about the doors, if he did that, if the cops did that, I don't know who did that. I mean, I know we put them up there a little nicer, but it wasn't like that when we went through. But we didn't close it down, my back started to hurt.
From the time you parked the car, that all this happened pretty quickly. Did you open up the door, called to Sharon to see what was going on? She doesn't move, and you stepped in, and then when you got near the door, you saw some movement. So you ducked in, grabbed the gun, and then as soon as you get back out, he's right adjacent to the door already, and you square off and have a confrontation. You shoot, boom, 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 boom. He goes to the ground, fire extinguisher falls, and you end up firing one or two more times. And then after that, you come back over and check on Sharon.
I cleared the rest of the house, sort of.
Did a quick check to make sure there
wasn't. Not like you guys, not like LP, but Metro did. My God, if she'd been shot in the toe, she bled to death.
Okay, so
I don't understand that still. It's been forever to come through
here. Then you come over here, and you kneel down beside her, and you check on her, and you go call 911. Or did you act right after you get down with the shooting, did you call them in?
As soon as he was down, I came and checked on her, and checked her pulse, tried to move her, and then I could see that the blood was really, really bad. And when called 911, I tried to, and that's when I thought the bondage was down, because it goes down a lot.
And how long do you think it took you to get up on that? With the bondage hole?
I was checking before I did the bondage, before I checked her. I was kind of checking these rooms out a little bit for to see if there was anybody else in them. And
that's before you called 911?
Yeah, and that was maybe 30, 40 seconds, maybe a minute.
Okay.
And
Did you want to get outdoor quick?
Yes, I've.
How long do you think it took you to get a hold of mine?
I didn't get a hold of mine. I got a hold of 911.
Get through on mine.
2 minutes, because it was busy, and then it rang through, and she got me. Okay. But
so all told, how long do you think it took from the time you opened the door to you being on 911? You had mentioned before you thought it was a lot quicker than obviously walking through.
2-3 minutes, maybe.
2-3 minutes, long.
Yeah. Because I wasn't too concerned about the kids' room, because I could see all of it. And I'm thinking that the green light was on, because it seems like I could see the light coming through behind the door on the couch.
You know,
that's what I'm talking about, is I'm going to get the phone. There's nothing in the living room. Once I come around the corner, there's no place to hide in the living room. When I went into the other living room places, and that's where I sleep, is my back is on that couch, and there's a green floodlight that comes on at 8:30, and I think I'm seeing that green floodlight, and if there had been anybody hanging up there, I mean, standing up in that corner would have been able to see the light, so I don't even think I went in there. I think I just maybe pulled the door, pushed the door to see if it...
2-3 minutes passed.
Yeah. And a lot of that was just waiting for them to answer, waiting for them to react to it.
Yeah, you took that out before you were talking about a minute. Huh. Well, you took the advantage problem and getting through the 911. We're talking about how long it took you there. It's quick. Did you tell me?
2 minutes, maybe. 2 minutes.
2 minutes from the time you opened the door to the time you're trying to call 911.
Might have been a little longer than that, because I checked Sharon. I tried to start doing Sharon as soon as I knew Mike was down, there was nobody else in this immediate area. And then it dawned on me that I don't care how good CPR, she's hurt, because, yeah, when I tried to turn her over, just blood just oozed out. And then I did the 911 thing, and that took a couple of minutes, but it wasn't very long. It wasn't very long.
We have, senior crime scene analyst here, Brandon Fail. And what we're wanting to do is these spots are more pronounced on the walls now because it's been a little bit of time and they spread out a little bit.
Do you
want to
break down your room?
He has a
bridge. You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.